If we haven't had a chance to meet, my name's Kurt. It's great to have you join us this weekend. And if you have not filled out the connection card, go ahead and click that button at the bottom of the screen and fill that out, or just give us your name and email so that we can keep you in the loop on that form at the top of the stream. Now, we are excited you're joining us this weekend. Today, we're going to be looking at something that I've discovered over these last 13, 14 weeks. Maybe you've discovered this as well, and that is the value of play. Now, there's moments where in our home, we've just like spontaneously like burst into play. We'd be sitting at the patio having dinner on our deck, and the kids would see a fish jump out of the water in the pond behind us, and they would bolt with their fishing poles and start fishing. It was just fantastic. We'd have, you know, spontaneous moments of hacky sack, of, you know, dance parties, frisbee with the dog in the backyard, skateboarding. I haven't skateboarded in 34 years. We've been skateboarding through the neighborhood. It's been fantastic. And I found myself losing myself in something that wasn't my job. All right, which was just awesome. In fact, speaking of losing myself, one of the things that has been kind of fun over these last number of weeks is my son, for his birthday, he got an iRacing game. He actually bought a gaming computer with his birthday cash. And just to be clear, I'm not a gamer. All right, I am not a gamer. But he wanted to join the iRacing League. And so this is of interest to me. So he came to me, and I kind of funded the subscription part of the game. He bought the computer. And then he came to me in May, and he said, Dad, you know, if we had the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, we could race there through the month of May. I'm like, well, let's do it. And he said, well, no, we have to buy it. I'm like, oh, I thought I already bought it. He said, no, it's an additional cost. And so I said, how much? He said, $15. I'm like, done. We're in. Let's race. And so then he said, well, we also have to buy the new chassis if we want to race at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I said, how much is it? $15. Done. All right. Now, they nickel and dime you to death. I'm not going to lie, but it has been worth every single penny of it. All right, because I've been losing myself. You can see right here. I'll be up till 1 in the morning gaming with him because I just get lost in the enjoyment of what we're doing together. It's just been fantastic. Now, I know for many of us, you know, we can get totally, lost in like the purpose part of what we do, like our job. Not that our job is our purpose, but it's where we're productive. It's where we're making things happen. But when's the last time you lost yourself in something other than work? When's the last time you actually forgot about your work? When's the last time you just did something silly or you did something totally unproductive on purpose? You did something totally unproductive. See, play and purpose are actually things that when they both happen in your life, you actually prosper. And so we're going to dig into the power of play and purpose this weekend. And if you've been around Crosspoint for any time, any length of time, you've heard us talk about this before. But I really want to share some things that have crystallized for me over these past number of weeks and these months that we've been stuck at home as we think about what it means to reimagine tomorrow and what it means to build in some of these spontaneous moments of play that are so invigorating. Because see, your Heavenly Father wants you to prosper. I want you to prosper. In fact, take a look at one of the things he says in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. He says, he is like a tree planted by streams of water. Now, just visualize this for a moment. I mean, imagine yourself in a valley, not a desert area, a valley. You're walking down to the bottom of the valley. There's a river flowing through, a stream flowing through, and there's lush trees all over you, like a canopy above you. It's a hot day. They're creating shade for you, and you're just kind of standing under the majesty of this tree, and you're hearing the water trickle through the rocks in the brook next to you. He says, he's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And so you're so caught up in the multi-sensory experience of this canopy of a tree over you and the rushing wind and the brook next to you. You reach up and you take a piece of fruit out of the tree, not a piece of asparagus, not a cabbage head from the cabbage tree. All right, no, this is a fruit tree. You take a piece of fruit, and it's sweet, and you bite into it, and it's just like running down your chin as the cool breeze, you know, blows by. And in that moment, you feel so good. In fact, you feel God. You feel a sense of refreshment. And it says, in all that, he prospers. He prospers. When was the last time you lost yourself in play? When was the last time you lost yourself in something that wasn't your work? When was the last time you lost yourself, you know, and you transported yourself to like a different time-space continuum, and you in that moment felt closer to God? See, when we have high purpose and we have high play, this can actually happen. So I want to share a visual picture with you that has been really kind of cool for Julie and I. We learned this from some of our friends at Crossroads Cincinnati years ago, this idea of purpose and play. And we have really implemented this in our family and are still implementing it. So we have a matrix right here. And as you can see, play, you know, we have high play at the top, low play at the bottom, high play, high purpose on the right, low purpose on the left. And as we look at this, I want us to think about this first section right here, which is high, very high purpose and very low play. What would your life look like if it was always purpose, purpose, purpose? You're always on the purpose train, all right? Always about work, always about getting stuff done. It's go, go, go. Maybe that was your life before the pandemic. I honestly can say that was part of my life before the pandemic. You know what it would be? It would be painful. That's what it would be. If it was always go, go, work, push, 10 more things to do, it would be painful. I mean, just over and over, like painful, right? And that's what we experience when maybe some of you grew up in a home that was this way. Now, let's look at this next quadrant, the opposite extreme, which is all play and low purpose. Right? This is where it's watercolors and water painting all the time, golfing all day, boating all day, card playing, movies. It's all play. All right, you're only getting play. There's really no purpose. There's nothing that drives you. There's nothing that you know, it's almost like meaningless play. What would you feel in that moment? You would feel a sense of like, this is pointless, right? It'd be like pointless. You'd be like, I don't even know why I get up. I can't even keep myself up because there's no meaning driving me. Now, in another realm is where there's no play and no purpose. And this, there's actually people that live in this realm, believe it or not. Retired people, not all retired people, but some retired people, they have no purpose and they have no play. And play, as we're going to discover, is the sense of multi-sensory experience that brings life and causes me to lose myself in something. All right, there are retired people who don't work. And not that you have to work to prosper, but they have no sense of purpose. There's no sense of like serving or blessing other people. There's no sense of getting outside myself for somebody else. And they have no play. I mean, all they do is sit around and watch TV all day. And so when you're low purpose and you're low play in your life, you know what that is? That's awful. That's what that is. It's awful. Just flat awful. Again, some of you grew up in a home like this, and you're like, I will never go back to that home. It is just awful, flat out awful. And then what I want us to see today is as we reimagine tomorrow, as we think about what this next season of life looks like, when we have high play and we have high purpose, when both of these are active and well, this is where we prosper. This is where we begin to prosper. This is what God desires for us, that we would prosper, and it's possible. It's possible. You know, when both of these are present, all right, you begin to get to a different place. Now, here's the thing. Most of us, we've got the purpose part down, right? We know how to do the purpose thing. So, big idea this weekend, I want us to see that a life that prospers is one who builds in intentional play. Intentional play. Now, here's the fascinating thing. I know it sounds strange to hear this in a church, but most religious people have no fun at all. Now, I'm not saying that's you, because we're not real religious here at Crosspoint, but when it comes to religious people, usually it's like, yeah, well, they're not going to have any fun. Right? Because, I mean, it's true, right? People, you know, religious people are usually about, you know, everything being done right and moral and buttoning everything up, and God's an architect and an engineer and everything's got to be precise, which he is to a degree, but he's also creative and an artist. I mean, I think he was somebody who would give instruction, but he'd also be out riding a wakeboard. I think that's the kind of God that we have, the Heavenly Father that we have. And I'm very confident that there's probably not too many of us that are playing too much. I mean, I'm just pretty confident of that. And I wish I could give you a verse in the Bible that just said, like, thou shalt play. And I could say, all right, there it is. It's right there. Thou shalt play. And you'd see it and you'd go, all right, well, it says it. I'm going to do it. But it's not there, right? There's not one that says that. At the same time, there's not one that says thou shalt eat or thou shalt sleep or thou shalt work out. Though we see those things, we're like, well, those are good things to do. They actually build us in multiple ways. And so, again, my goal today is I want us to see as we reimagine tomorrow that play is an important cornerstone of prospering in this next season. And what do we mean by play? Well, play is anything that causes me to lose time, to lose a sense of time, and in the end, as a result, I'm energized by it. And as human beings, we have this built in, right? I mean, little human beings, little people, like children, they get this. Like, they do this every day, all day. And yet, somehow along the way, we lose it when we get older. It's like culture and life just kicks it right out of us. And all of a sudden, we don't know how to play. There's a guy by the name of Dr. Stuart Brown, works for the National Institute of Play. He says this: It says play appears purposelessness. Play appears purposeless. It produces pleasure and joy. It leads one to the next stage of mastery. It appears to be a problem of divinely superfluous neurons. How about that? How about that? He says it's just purposelessness. That's at least what it looks like. Play looks like there's no point to it, but that's not the case at all. He says it's actually doing something in our neurochemistry. So why don't we play? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why don't we play? Well, a couple reasons. One, we think play is childish, right? We're like, oh, that's what I did when I was a kid. I mean, when I became an adult, I started doing adult things. Why do we associate play with being a child? Number two, we believe play, you know, costs us resources, which it does. I mean, it costs time and it costs money. I mean, if you're going to play, if you're going to have recreational, you know, enjoyment, it's going to cost you some time and money. Another reason we often don't play is FOMO, fear of missing out. Like, well, what happens if I take the foot off the gas on the work end? Somebody's going to get ahead of me. Well, I can't go to the pool. I mean, if I go to the pool, if I take vacation, oh my words, what if somebody climbs above me on the ladder, the corporate ladder? So we have a fear of missing out. In fact, right here, I put in my notes, I took a break to go to the pool right here. That's what I wrote in. I told my daughter I was going to go at noon. So Julie and I took Meredith to the pool. And I said, we go for an hour. We're going to play in the middle of the day. So I made a note of it. And we were there for 2.5 hours. I lost myself in the pool and then came back to this later and picked up my development of this later. So fourth thing, the reason we don't play is we don't understand God. We don't understand God. See, theology, the word theology, really, theo is God. And theology is the understanding of God. I don't think we have a good understanding of God. I really don't. See, all the while, our culture is hurting. We're self-medicating. We have opioid addiction going up, up, up. We have addictions to painkillers and other self-medicating mechanisms going up, up, up. You know what? Play is the coping mechanism. Play is the thing, the natural way that we cope. But instead, we're tapping into artificial means. The writer of Wisdom in Ecclesiastes, he said this. He said, what do workers gain from their toil? That each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. And so what he's saying right here is God's gift to you and I is you and I have the ability to earn money, and then we get to take part of that money, and guess what? We get to pay for pleasure. We get to pay for things that bring joy to our lives. It's like it's God's gift to us. And when we cannot identify ways that we're actually funding pleasure in our lives, we're actually shunning the very gift of God. Think about this for a moment. I mean, who likes to give a gift and get shunned by giving? Have you ever had that happen? Like, hey, I got you a gift. And the person on the other end is like, yep, nope, sorry, not interested. Like, you're like insulted, right? So when we don't tap into the gift that God has given us, it's like we're saying, God, no thanks. We shun God. Nagel Jackson, playwright and stage director, he says, the truly great advances of this generation will be made by those who can make outrageous connections, and only a mind which knows how to play can do that. See, the problem that we face, many of us, is we get stuck in the status quo. In fact, I was there. I found myself there about 2 weeks before the pandemic hit back in March. I remember being on a run very distinctly. Could tell you exactly where I was at. And I just had this thought. I thought, I go through the same routine every single day, every single week. On Monday, I do a bunch of meetings. On Tuesday, I prep. On Wednesday, I prep in the morning. I have meetings all afternoon. On Thursday, I do a little prep. I have meetings in the afternoon. I have pre-production. We have service on Thursday night. I follow up on loose ends on Friday morning. I take Friday afternoon off. I take Saturday off. I'm back on Sunday. We start all over on Monday. And then we have kids' events. Same thing every night. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm in a rut. I'm like in the grind, and what do you know, bam, the pandemic hit. Totally dismantled it all. It was one of the best things. Not the impact that it's having on our community, but for me personally, I'm like, wow, this just totally upended everything, and now we have the chance to reform what that looks like. And so, what I've discovered is that play is a pushing against the status quo. It's a pushing against the monotony. And so five realms that I want to give us today, five ways that I want us to consider play and how it plays out in our lives. And all of these are attributes of playing, all right? These are indicators that we're playing. In fact, the more of these that you have in your life, the more, activity and prospering you're likely going to see. All right, so here's the first one. First aspect of how we play is the spiritual. Spiritual. Play is a spiritual rhythm, believe it or not. Play forces you to trust God. See, play, when I play, when I step out of my purpose train, when I step out of my job for a moment, and I choose to take a moment to play, I'm saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust that even though I'm not working all the time, my job's still going to be there. I'm going to trust that even though I'm not working all the time, you're going to provide for my needs. And so when I don't play, it's almost like I'm saying, God, I don't trust you. Think back to the creation story, for instance. All right, if you think about the creation narrative, you know, when the earth was created, you know, those first 6 days, millenniums, however you like to think of them, you know, it could be 1,000 years, could be 24 hour periods of time. I don't know. It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, we can debate that, but that's not of interest to me. On the sixth day of the creation narrative, guess what? God creates you and me. He creates human beings. Guess what he does on the seventh day? Take a look at it right here in Genesis 2. It says, on the seventh day, he rested. He rested. Now, what are you and I to do? What do you think the first human beings did? I mean, they just got created the day before, right? And then the seventh day comes and God rested. What do they have to do? You know what they did? They rested. They played, which sounds a bit odd. I mean, because you'd think that God would be like, hey, I just created you. You need to be fruitful and multiply. Come on, chop, chop. Like, get busy. Start doing something. But no, he said, I want you to rest. First thing I want you to do is I want you to rest. I want you to play. See, there's something about the spirituality of playing. And when we're not playing, we're actually not trusting. We actually get to the place where we think, you know, the world can't go on without me. I mean, I can't disengage or things are going to fall apart. And we're not trusting. In another episode, we see Jesus doing his very first miracle. Anybody remember what his first miracle was? Yeah, is it a wedding, right? Is it a wedding in Cana? And basically, he turned water into wine. And why did he do that? He did that to enable the celebration. He did that to enable the dancing to continue, the karaoke to continue on, like Sweet Caroline could continue to be sung over and over. That's why he did it, right? And listen, don't give me the BS that's like, oh, you know, it was really Welch's grape juice. It was not Welch's grape juice that he created. I'm just going to be honest with you, right? The wine steward right there in the account of John tells us, the wine steward said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. What that means is after all the taste buds have been numb from, you know, being, you know, intoxicated, basically, nobody's going to pay attention to the bad wine, so that's when you bring out the cheap stuff. And yet, you saved the best till now. He says, you brought the best wine out at the end. I'm like, yep, that's my God right there. That's how he works. He enabled the party to continue. He enabled play, dancing, celebration. I mean, think about your parents for just a moment, all right? Whether you're 16 or 26 or 46 or 76, I want you to think about your parents for just a moment. We want to be around our parents as long as it is life-giving, right? I mean, that's what we want. But we don't really want to be around them if every time we're around them, it's just get on the purpose train. You know, here's another 10 things you need to do. Hey, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? I mean, nobody wants to be around that, right? Not at all. And yet, when we think about God in this way, it's no wonder so many people are down on God and like, yeah, not interested. Because we think God is just all about the purpose. No, he's about the play. See, God wants to be in relationship with us, in a life-giving relationship where you prosper. Second realm of our personhood is in the physicality. It's not just the spirituality, it's in the physicality. See, play happens in periods of rest. Play can be restful, but play is not rest. All right, so play, simply taking a nap is not necessarily play. Disconnecting to recharge isn't necessarily play. Even a vacation isn't necessarily play, though you can play on a vacation, but they're not one and the same. And so play is when we engage in our environment. It's taking a walk through a park. It's getting down on the ground and drawing chalk, you know, on the driveway. It's going out and going to Top Golf with our friends, or, you know, spend a day on the lake, you know, with water sports. When you lose yourself physically, it's invigorating. In fact, again, the writer of Wisdom in Proverbs, he says, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Which might be why our life expectancy is beginning to go down a bit over the last couple years. Which is kind of crazy. Think about that. Our life expectancy is going down even though our medical advancements are going up. How can that be? See, medical advancements can't keep up with our poor choices of choosing not to play. And we're on the purpose train all the time. Got to go, go, go. Got to keep closing the sales. Got to, you know, look at the next thing. Got to always be on, always be going. You know, whether it's keeping the house up or the apartment up, whatever it is, our neurochemicals, they just keep going in the same direction all the time. We literally wear a groove in our thinking, in our synaptic connections. Right, there's a groove that begins to become developed in our neurochemistry, which leads to the third part of our whole person, our mentality or our mental side, our mental component. This is why, you know, you've probably read that when you begin working more than 60 hours a week, some would argue that it's less than that, maybe 50, that we begin to become exponentially less productive. Why is that? It's because we're trying to get our brain to work harder, to be more creative, but the grooves are there. We've wore the grooves from doing the same thing over and over. And we feel this sense of being stuck. And see, when you play, the neurochemicals, they rest. They develop different patterns. This is why it's so restorative. I know for me, you know, whenever I have major breakthroughs or major, you know, kind of thoughts or creative ideas come, it is rarely in a meeting room or in a boardroom or in any kind of gathering where we're sitting around trying to be creative. You know when my best times come, my biggest breakthroughs come? I already mentioned it once tonight. It's when I'm on a run. It's when I'm out doing something active and I'm not working and the neural connections are happening differently. Or it's when I'm on vacation and I'm hiking through Yosemite or hiking through, you know, Volcano National Park. I mean, these are the moments where I have major breakthroughs. It's how God created us. It's the spiritual, it's the physical, it's the mental. Fourth component is the relational. Now, have you noticed how much play, like, bonds us relationally? There used to be a saying that you'd see on billboards across the country, and I don't know, some religious organization funded them all. It wasn't a bad saying. It just said something like, you know, the family that prays together stays together, right? Anybody seen that out of curiosity? Yeah, you've seen that. It's not a bad idea. I mean, I'm into prayer. I really am. I like prayer. We pray. I pray a lot. I pray with my kids. Julie and I pray with our kids before they go to bed. We pray at mealtime. It's a good thing. But see, I think there's even something more impactful than just praying together. I think the family that plays together actually stays together. In fact, Willard Harley, who wrote the book His Needs, Her Needs, he says the couple that plays together stays together. Friends that play together stay together. Something powerful that happens there. This past week, we had a staff meeting on Monday, and I asked our whole team as we were sitting around, I said, hey, how do you guys play? What do you do to play? We're talking about play this week. What do you do? And Dave, one of our guys who works in production, he started telling us about this game that he and his daughters play called Barf Kitties. And I think it'll be pretty explanatory, but it was fantastic. You got to take a look at this. Check this out.
What's this game called?
It's called Barf Kitties.
So how do you play Barf Kitties?
I mean, you and then you say,
you play Barf Kitties and then you do oil, 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 and that's how like Barf Kitty works, and it's almost going to be gone.
The flowers are the carpet and the grass is outside. And what sound does the cat make when it's about to barf?
Oil, oil, oil,
oil, oil. Alright, you ready to play again?
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah.
Oh no! George, no, don't barf on the carpet. Don't barf on the carpet, George. No, don't barf on the carpet. Come back here. George. No, you barf on the carpet. Don't barf on the carpet. Barf on the camera, George.
Oh, my word. His kids will never forget that, right? They will never, that will bind them together for their whole life. How awesome is that? See, there's something about the relational glue that happens when we're together and we're laughing together. And I'm telling you, man, the opportunities are endless. We've had so many of them over the last 14 weeks during this pandemic. You know, it's not like we've enjoyed being in quarantine, but there have been so many opportunities to play. We shot BB guns off the patio, you know, just having fun, things we'd never do if we weren't sitting at home. You know, skateboarding through the neighborhood, dance parties break out, hacky sack nights, indoor frisbee golf, that's a lot of fun. You know, entire evenings watching family videos and just laughing. In fact, one of my favorite moments happened Memorial Day weekend, because we're pretty bummed that the Indianapolis 500, you know, got pushed, and yet we decided to recreate one of our favorite moments of the day. And so if you didn't see it on social media, check this out.
I dream I got the Wabash. Then I long for my Indiana.
Is that? Oh my word. I will always be fond of that moment right there. See, here's the thing. When my kids are older, they probably won't remember a single prayer time we ever had, even though we do it multiple times a day. And we'll continue to do it. It's important. We will continue to pray. But I tell you, when they start talking about the stupid stories of the stuff we do, they just laugh and laugh and laugh. Anything that you can do to get each other laughing with other people, it binds you together. And it may be not some of the stupid stuff that we do in our home. I mean, maybe it's camping. You know, people like to camp together. If it's knitting, I mean, it can be nearly anything. Whatever it is, it binds us together. And when we do this, we begin to change. And guess what? We begin to come alive. We really do. Dr. Stuart Brown, one more quote from him, National Institute of Play, says, when one doesn't play in adulthood, there are consequences. Rigidity, depression, and lack of adaptability. Now, it's fascinating because the opposite of play is not work. In fact, Brian Sutton Smith, kind of the guru of what's fun, he's kind of the foremost play scholar of the last 100 years. He says this. He says the opposite of play is depression. Now, let me be really clear. I'm not saying if you have clinical depression that just is an indicator you're not playing enough. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is there's a heck of a lot of us walking around every single day and we don't feel right. You know why? It's because we're not playing. We're not enjoying the spontaneous moments and taking advantage of this gift that God has given us. And as we reimagine tomorrow, as we think about what the next season is, you and I have the opportunity to build this in, to take our prospering to a different level. Because it impacts the five aspects of our whole person. You know, one of my favorite historical leaders, thought leaders, vision leaders, world leaders, is a guy, maybe you've heard of him, named Walt Disney. Anybody heard of Walt Disney? Is that a curiosity? Yeah, Walt Disney. I love everything Disney. If you hang around me for too long, you're going to hear me talk about Jesus and Walt Disney and sports, and a lot of junior high humor. Those are the things you're going to hear if you spend time with me. And when it comes to Disney, I love all things Disney. I love the magic. I love the vision. I'm still blown away. Every time I'm there, I'm like, how does a guy that died 55 years ago still have his vision being executed to a T, and the values continue to come out in the organization? He just embedded those so deep into this organization. But maybe what's most captivating to me about Walt Disney is his commitment to create a place not only for kids, but for adults to play. For kids and adults alike to have a place where they can escape reality for just a bit, maybe a day or two or a week, and they can be restored. About a year ago, the Disney organization put out a docuseries, I guess you would call it, and it's called the Imagineer Story. And it's kind of how the Imagineers that created the Disney product, Walt Disney World Enterprises, came to be. And there's a scene I want to show you that happened the day that Walt Disney died, and just the impact that he had, not only then, but on the world. Take a look at this.
Walt kept the severity of his lung cancer a secret. He remained cheerful despite a rapid physical decline. From his hospital bed, Walt implored his brother Roy to complete all projects underway, especially his vision for Florida.
Well, my greatest reward, I think, is that I've been able to build this wonderful organization. I've been able to enjoy good health. The way I feel today, I feel like I can still go on being a part of this thing after 40-some-odd years in the business. And also to have the public appreciate and accept what I've done all these years. That is a great reward.
Walt Disney died on December 15th, 1966. He was 65 years old.
Walt Disney died today in a Burbank, California hospital.
The man who built an empire on the gossamer threads of fantasy is dead.
The film colony, the public generally, and high officials have expressed shock and sorrow. And thanks to the
It would take more time than anybody has around a daily news shop to think of the right things to say about Walt Disney. It may be true, as somebody said, that while there is no highbrow in a lowbrow, there is some lowbrow in every highbrow. But what Walt Disney seemed to know was that while there is very little grown-up in a child, there is a lot of child in every grown-up. To a child, this weary world is brand new, gift-wrapped, and Disney tried to keep it that way for adults. Escapism from reality. He probably did more to heal, or at least to soothe, troubled human spirits than all the psychiatrists in the world. Today, people are saying we'll never see his like again. We'd better.
The day Walt died, we opened, and it was the right decision. Walt would say, the show goes on. I think that Walt wanted to do more than just a Disneyland. He was trying to leave us with a vision for the future.
This one phrase, he probably did more to heal or at least soothe troubled human spirits than all the psychiatrists in the world. And how did he do that? By creating a place for kids and adults alike to play, to escape the troubles of the day for just a bit, and in the midst of that, allow their spirit to be nurtured through play. See, the last piece, the last attribute is the emotional. See, there's something emotional that takes place in us when we play. I mean, what happens? It's like when you get so caught up in playing, you forget about all the stresses going on around you. When you get caught up in playing and you lose track of time, you forget about the everyday things that are going on. It's like the problems, just for the moment at least, disappear. And it's a very good thing. And this is why I want us to do this week. In fact, this week, I want to give you a next step. You can take out your connection card on the app, or you can pull it up under the service stream if you don't have the app. But I want you to just open this up, and I want you to decide, am I going to do this week? Am I going to begin to move in this direction or continue to move in this direction? So here's the next step. It's very simple. It's very simple, though. I'm going to tell you, as adults especially, it's hard to walk out. This week, I want us to look for and engage in opportunities to play. It could be anything. Anything that brings enjoyment. Anything that brings energy where you begin to lose yourself for just a bit. Where you're totally unproductive. Totally unproductive. And I'm telling you, when we begin to make a habit of this, we will begin to see prosperity in our lives begin to go up. We'll have a fuller life. And I'm going to help you on this as well. If you're in a small group, one of the things we're going to do in groups this week, we're not going to have a discussion guide, so you're going to play as a small group. And so, small group leaders, we're going to give you a list of things you can do virtually. There's all kinds of apps like Psych, and you can do, you know, animation. You can draw your favorite animated characters through the Zoom window if you're still meeting through the digital window, or if you're meeting in person, man, the road is wide open. We want you to create opportunities to play, to do something where you can create some memories together. In fact, I heard it said this last week that you can learn more about a person in 1 hour of play than you can in a year of conversation. So we're going to put the discussion guide away, and we're going to just create a moment to play. So small group leaders, you're going to see this. If you're in a group, get ready to have some kind of engagement this week. Now, there's another one I want to give you, another opportunity for you to engage, and this is for every single one of us. All right, we've got something called the Goose Chase coming up this on Sunday, June 21st, Father's Day, which, by the way, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I know I'm appreciative for my dad and the ways he built into me, and so, dads, we appreciate you. And so this is the Father's Day edition of Goose Chase, but you don't have to be a father or even, you know, be interested in Father's Day to participate. This is a digital scavenger hunt, and I guarantee you if you do this, you will have so much fun. In fact, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, here's a scene from our last digital scavenger hunt. Take a look at this.
Thank you, Midwest Weather, for being so incredibly nice while we are being ordered to stay indoors.
Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum.
Hello, Cross Point, I'm Eric.
I'm Chris. First, we would like you to take out your connection card and put it in a thing we call the Joy Box.
Woo!
Ha 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 for a living!
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol from Big Cat Rescue.
stay at the YMCA.
All right, so you're going to get missions in the goose hunt, and then you have to video or take pictures and post them of you completing the mission, and you get points. So I encourage you right now to reach into what's happening in the app and sign up for Goose Chase. Sunday, June 21st, Father's Day evening, 6:30 to 7:30. It's 1 hour. You can pick your team. It can be two of you. It can be one of you if you want to play by yourself. You're going to be up to four. It can be people from your home. You can partner with friends, fraternity, brothers, sorority sisters, grandparents with your grandkids against the grandparents. You know, I mean, the opportunities are endless. I guarantee you, you will have fun. Now, there's a button under the service stream as well, so if you're not on the app, just click that button that says Goose Chase, sign up, and I guarantee you, you will have a blast, and you will lose yourself for 1 hour Sunday evening, just having fun and making memories together. And there's going to be cool prizes. So make sure you sign up. Don't miss this next edition of Goose Chase on Father's Day evening. Now, this is what we're going to do this week. This is what we're going to do. We're going to try to immerse ourselves in losing ourselves and be energized through play. One last thing as I wrap up. One last thing. Your Heavenly Father is crazy about you. Just absolutely crazy. He loves to see you laugh. He loves to hear you giggle. I mean, there's nothing more that warms his heart than to see you enjoying life and people and the things he created. I mean, think about it. What good parent doesn't? I mean, if you're a parent, you certainly understand that when you look at your kids and you see them just laughing and giggling, having a great time, it just warms your heart. So do your Heavenly Father a favor this week and enjoy and giggle and laugh. All right, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun this week. All right, let's go ahead and stand. We're going to do one more song here in a moment. Let me pray for us before we do that. God, thank you for being a God who is not just about the purpose. You're a very purposeful God. But Jesus, you came down with a mission, but you also showed us how to enjoy life. And we thank you for that. We just pray this week that you would, you know, help us to take advantage, to pay attention to opportunities all around us, to spontaneously just break for a moment, to actually trust you, to trust that if I get off the purpose train for just a moment, God, that I actually am going to trust that you're going to take care of me, and I can make memories and forge friendships and actually feed my spirit and nurture my soul and just take a moment to be refreshed through this gift that you have given us called play. And so help us to do this week. Help us to see this, Jesus, because your dream for us is that we live a full life, that we live alive and we live free. So thank you for that. And we pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.